You're listening to Off the X with your hosts, Forrest Carvajal, Tyler Wells, Matt Covington, and Barrett Moon. Brought to you by Pond Creek Duck Calls. Call with confidence. Otis Arms, built for the outdoors. Hella Dry Gear. Rixie Outdoors. Huntproof, the premier waterfowl mobile app. Pattern Pros, where simplicity meets results. And Wellens Land, Arkansas's leading recreational real estate and development group. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Off the X Podcast. We've got a little extra episode we're throwing in today. We're going to be talking about a really cool event and deal that happens in Conway at the beginning of the year. And we've got the man himself that kind of heads all that up, Dr. Thad Hardin. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Real quick, just kind of give us a little bit of background about you. Obviously, you're a doctor. What kind of doctor? You live in Conway now. Mm-hmm. Also, kind of give us you, because you were kind of telling us before we started recording, you grew up in Southeast Arkansas?
Yeah, I grew up in McGee.
Okay. So just kind of a little bit of background about you, and then I want to kind of hear how you got involved with the Conway Duck Derby, and then we'll kind of jump into to what that is and how cool that project is kind of turned into. It's kind of big now, so pretty cool deal. But just give us a little rundown about yourself so we know who we're talking to.
All right. So I did grow up in McGee, lived there my whole life until I went to college at Fayetteville. I graduated from there, ended up at UAMS for mm-hmm. med school, and then I did residency training in Jonesboro at St. Bernard's, and then I've been in Conway since August of 2010.
Okay.
And family medicine doctor, so I see pretty much everything except for newborns. I just don't do that anymore. And then I don't do pregnant women anymore. I delivered enough babies as a resident. It is trouble to be at the beck and call of one pregnant lady. Being at the beck and call of 50 or 300 was too much for me.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So I don't deliver babies anymore. So pretty much everything else I take care of as a primary care physician in Conway, and love it. Like I think I was born to do it. I love doing it almost as much as duck hunting.
Really?
But it's a fun job. And as far as duck hunting goes, I didn't grow up duck hunting.
Mm-hmm.
I deer hunted a lot, but nobody in my family was duck hunters. My granddad, who took us hunting most of the time, was a deer hunter and a turkey hunter, and crappie fisher. So I never really went duck hunting. The first time I ever went was a junior or senior in high school, and it was like 10 or 15 degrees, and there were no birds. And I thought, why in the world would anybody ever duck hunt? Like, this is just the worst.
I still think that on a daily basis. So there's days where I'm like, I don't know why I'm out here.
Especially this year.
Yeah, this year, especially this year.
Yeah, this year there have been days when I thought about going and thought, no, it's not worth it. I'll just go sit on a deer stand or sleep in.
Mm. I still go, and I'm like, I could have just not done this. So
I've done that enough times where I've kind of like, well, what else do I have to do today?
So where do you hunt?
So I hunt now. I'm a hunter of opportunity. So I will go with anybody that'll take me. But I have a lease in between England and Stuttgart. It's a field, and so that's kind of where I do most of my hunting now. But it's easy hunting. It's, you know, drive up to the blind, drop the stuff off, go drive the side by side off, and walk back to the blind. It's not anything major. And I've got a couple of boys that are kind of into duck hunting now, and you know, for them it needs to be kind of enjoyable. And you can either have an easy hunt and not kill any birds, or you can have a hard hunt and kill lots of birds.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't have a hard hunt with no birds, because then they don't want to come back.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
now, speaking of your two boys, and I'm just going to throw this story out there real quick, because I got to hunt next to Thad and his two boys at a dove hunt this year, and he's got one son that is a freaking sniper. I mean, the kid... Dude, I couldn't even get a gun up around him. Like, it was like the bird was down before you even had a chance to put a bead on it. I mean, and he would call him out, like, there it is, boom, just smoked it. I was like, unreal. He was so fast on that gun. But yeah, I was props to you, Thad. You've got a killer in your family.
Thanks to Conway Christian Trap. he does enjoy shooting for sure. That's my older one, Ridge.
Yeah.
No. How old is Ridge?
He's 14.
14?
14, yep.
So he, you got him ate up with it? He out there every time you go, or?
Pretty much.
Okay.
If there's a chance to go, he wants to go. We went and sat on the deer stand this evening.
Mm-hmm.
So he enjoys the woods a lot and enjoys shooting. And I really think the trap shooting at Conway Christian, you start in sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cool program through the Game and Fish where you just basically show up. They provide the shells, they provide the trap thrower, they provide the skeets, everything.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, could you imagine more fun as a 12-year-old to show up on Saturdays and just shoot a couple boxes of shells every Saturday?
Sounds like a good time.
You were a trap shooter, mm-hmm. weren't you?
Yeah. I shot through the 4-H in high school, and I mean, I loved it. I didn't start till later on. I wish it's a great program,
and a lot of schools don't start until ninth grade. Like anywhere around here, I think Conway High School starts in ninth grade when it's a mm-hmm. huge school, so they can't really accommodate right. all that. Mm-hmm. But Conway Christian being a little smaller, you start in sixth grade. And so they're
– that's awesome.
I think he's a pretty good shot, you know.
I'd say so.
And so, you know, that's been fun watching him gain a little confidence, you mm-hmm. know, getting more. And then, too, I lost my shotgun mm-hmm. To him. Like, he needed a shotgun. He needed to go up to 12-gauge for trap. And trying to find one that fit him right, the only one that I could come across is my Benelli Montefeltro. But – because his shoulders aren't as wide as mine, we had to change the shims to fit mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm. And now, if I put it on my shoulder, I'm not even looking down the barrel. And so I've lost my shotgun until he grows up enough to where I can have it back. But it's pretty much, that's what he shot that day when we were dove hunting. He was shooting my, well, it's his gun now.
Yeah.
So
he handles it well. I'll say that.
He's pretty solid.
Yeah. I did laugh a few times, though, because he'd shoot something, then they'd go out there to get the dove, and your younger one wouldn't touch it.
Yeah, no.
So they were picking him up, like, with their, like, pinching the feet, and, like,
we're working on that. It's a work in progress.
I got a kick out of it. I enjoyed it, watching those two boys.
Yeah, we certainly enjoyed the dove hunt. It was fun. It was one of those things where, you know, sometimes you go on good dove hunts and sometimes mm-hmm. you go on bad ones. In the last couple of years, we've gone on some good ones with Stuart and his family, so that's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, tell us about, how's your duck season going?
Well, in Arkansas, pretty lame.
Yeah.
I went to Nebraska for 3 days, and we don't have any ducks here because they're all in Nebraska. They are all in Nebraska.
We're all still hanging out up there.
We were on the Platte River, and we killed, I think we killed 17 the first day. We just weren't quite on the X.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, we went north in the Sandhills
mm-hmm.
and killed 8 limits of mallards and then 25 or 30 Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next morning, we killed 47 ducks back on the Platte River.
Nice.
I probably killed more in those 3 days than I have on my own hunting land in the last 5 or 6 years.
Really?
Now, I've been on some other good hunts other places, but as far as the land that I pay to go hunt,
mm-hmm.
there was way more in these 3 days than I've probably killed in 5 or 6 years.
The Platte River's a bucket list.
Yeah.
I'll show you some pictures later, man. It was unbelievable.
I believe it.
And it was a sweet outfit. The guy that runs it, it's called the River Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that owns it played football for Nebraska, and he's a mechanical engineer, I think, that has a construction firm
mm-hmm.
that – this is kind of a hobby. Like, they guide, you can hunt 70 days in Nebraska, and they guide 5 times for 3 days, and that's it.
Really?
They don't hunt it all 70 days. They just guide for 3 days, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. The people show up on Sunday night, and you leave at Wednesday afternoon, and that's it. That's all they do, and they do that 5 times.
So when you say 5 times, like 5 times the entire season?
The entire season.
So only 5 groups.
Only hunters. 5 groups.
Wow.
And the lodge is immaculate. They bring in a chef. I mean, it's world-class stuff.
High cotton.
Very high cotton. Yes, yeah. Very high cotton. I was glad that I got invited. I got it.
Dan was like, let me throw that out here real quick.
Yeah. So I got a call on the Monday before Thanksgiving that said, hey, we're going to this place in Nebraska to hunt, and somebody backed out. Do you want to go? And so I pulled the old, hey, let me check with my wife. Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And so, yeah, I was glad that somebody backed out, because somebody made a bad choice.
You got to fulfill some of that bloodlust that you've been missing.
Yes, yes. I didn't know it was on my bucket list, but I checked it off. But I checked it off. I told my wife before I left that, like, my whole goal going there is, like, I'm not going to claim any ducks. I'm going to shoot ducks. But if somebody else thinks they shot it, I'm going to let them have it.
Oh, yeah.
My goal was to be, like, keep the shooting. Nicest guy that I get invited back.
Exactly.
Yeah. My goal was to get invited back.
Exactly. That's awesome. So River Lodge in Nebraska.
The River Lodge in Nebraska. And they're fixing, like, it's so the one of his sons helps him do it, and his son is, I think, a church consultant.
Yeah.
But they're expanding into north, going to build a lodge in north Nebraska for goose hunting and big game hunting, mule deer, stuff like that. And they've got some agreement they're working on with a place out of Canada to start doing their stuff for them.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, they're doing it right. Well, if they can replicate anywhere else what they've got in Overton, Nebraska, they'll be just fine.
Yeah. Man, the videos I see of any of the Platte River hunts, you're just like, this is unreal.
And they call it a river.
It's not
a river.
It's really like a creek.
Yeah.
You know, it's
a stream.
It's more of a stream. I would call it a stream. But yeah, like, and these guys had it all set up where, like, they're the only access. The place where we went on Tuesday north on the Calamus River, these guys had locked up 6 miles of the river where nobody else has access to it but them. Yeah. And they locked that up 3 weeks before we got there.
How do they do that?
Just land rights. Just talking to people and leasing and whatever.
Okay.
And then all the farmers, like,
scout. Most of them are farmers. Yeah, they don't care anything about it.
They don't. And they scout it for them. Like, hey, we got the ducks, you know, or whatever. And so, yeah, when we went that Tuesday morning on the Calamus River, I don't know that you could have been any more on the X.
Really?
It was unreal. We were in between where they were roosting and the food, and they just back and forth.
Pit stop.
We were just a pit stop. And you know, we're hunting 8 guys in a blind, and I was on the far end on the right. There was another doctor next to me, and then 6 other guys. And they thought that the ducks were going to work around in front of us because they said the ducks like to land upstream.
And float down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the wind was going not. They thought they were going to kind of work with the wind like they're supposed to at the last second, turn and come into to the river. That's not what they did. Mm-hmm. They just worked with the wind right down our end of the blind all morning. So me and the guy next to me, guy named Park was his name, just absolutely
shoulders were sore.
Yes. Yeah. I quit. If any duck that came from the other way, I didn't even pick up my gun.
Yeah.
Like, there were 6 guys. I know it's going to die. Like, I'm just going to watch.
Yeah.
I had shot all I wanted to shoot. So it was fun.
Oh, that's unreal.
Those are fun hunts.
Yes.
That's what gets the hooks in you and makes you keep coming back for the days or the seasons like we're having here in
and
Arkansas.
Come back to Arkansas and you're like, well, this is.
I should have just stayed there.
I should have stayed in Nebraska.
I can't afford to stay in Nebraska.
It's going to get expensive quick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you shoot any wall hangers?
Yeah. Well, I brought 2 home to mount. I hadn't sent them off yet or anything, but killed a nice hen and drake widgeon.
Mm, okay.
And then we killed the banded duck while we were there, but, you know, about half of us were shooting and half of us weren't. So,
did y'all draw straws?
Well, so we were going to draw straws, but so we're sitting down to have dinner, and one of the guys that wouldn't be in the straw drawing was like, well, you know, how about we give it to the guide? And so at that point, you can't be the jerk that's like, heck no, I want my band.
I'd be like, listen, did you pull the trigger?
I want my 1/8 chance of winning this thing.
And so
you didn't pull the trigger, you don't have a vote.
Yeah. And so of course all the 3 or 4 of us that were kind of in the draw were like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And then afterwards, the guy that suggested was like, no, I wouldn't have suggested that if I was in the drawing.
Of course not.
But the lodge guys, as nice as they were, the guide was keeping the original, but they were going to have an exact replica made of the band to give to all the hunters.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's awesome.
So I'll have, in my mind, the original.
That's right.
But, you know.
Well, the guy that suggested that, I guarantee you his slot will be open next year.
yeah.
So
don't invite him back.
Just remember that. You slide in on that one.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so the real reason you're here, let's talk about the Conway Duck Derby, because it's something that Tyler and I have participated in for 2 years now.
Yeah, this will be our second year.
Yeah. Now, how many years running is it?
So it started, our first one was in 2019. So we hunted in January of 2019, and then we hunted in January of 20. And then COVID, we couldn't do it in 21.
I remember that, yep.
And then in 22, we had a split hunt where we hunted in January, but we couldn't have the banquet because there was a surge in COVID. So we had the banquet in March. And then last year was the first time we actually had, in 23, the hunt, all hunt and the banquet all in the same day at UCA where we hold it currently. So this year coming up will be our, I think, our fifth Duck Derby.
Got it. Okay. So kind of tell us how this all came about. And I kind of want to, because I don't know the history of it. I've just kind of, I've seen it grow, because I actually remember I went to the banquet the first year that the banquet happened. I didn't hunt, but I went to the banquet and it was cool. You could tell it was still new. There was still, you know, a lot that was being fleshed out. So I'd love to hear kind of how the history, how it came about, and kind of what, I mean, I've got some other questions as well, but I want to hear that history first.
So it all goes back to when I was in Jonesboro as a resident. So Jonesboro has a similar event called the NEA Duck Classic that's been going on for 20 years now or something like that. And I started hunting in that as a resident and then continued to hunt in it after I moved back to Conway. I hunted in it for like 10 years in a row. And so I love the idea. Like, what's not to love about a competitive duck hunt and a big banquet, you know? And Conway is a very similar town to Jonesboro in that it's local, young, very a lot of camaraderie amongst the community, very community first, community centric, that sort of thing. And so I always thought, man, it would be, I know that we could do that here. You know, we don't have quite as many hunting spots as Jonesboro does. But like, surely we could make something like that happen here. And I pitched the idea to a few different people, but I was just a local primary care doctor. Like, you know, you got to have, you can't put that on by yourself, right? And so in 2017, I was appointed to the Conway Regional Hospital Board. Well, then that immediately gave me access to the foundation. And so I kind of pitched the idea. I've been on the board for like 2 months, and I was like, hey, I got this idea. And then they said, yeah, you know, that sounds good. That sounds cool. We'll give it a go. And so we started planning in 2017, late 2017, for the event in 2019. So we, the first year we planned for about a year and a half to get it off the ground. And the first year we had it was at the Spiriton Center at St. Joe's.
I remember that.
And in the fundraising world, large fundraisers like this don't make money. They just don't the first year. You just got to get them off the ground. They kept telling me, and they said on the front end, hey, we're going to give you, you know, three years that we're going to foot the bill to try to get it off the ground.
Yeah.
And when I kind of pitched the idea, I already had several people in mind to help me, other physicians, community members, guys that were connected to a large group of important people that love duck hunting. So I kind of handpicked people to be on the committee with me. I got one of my best friends is a guy, Mike Armstrong, that works at Nabholz. And then I had Dr. Cole and Jeff Standridge and a surgeon in town, Lou McColgan, and John Ross Henderson, and who else is on there? And then Jason Smith and Jim Rankin. And so I had a kind of a who's who of
some heavy hitters,
of hunters in this area, right? Because I knew, like, I'm not from here. I don't, nobody knows me. Like, I wasn't enough. I needed some people behind me. And so we planned it. And then the whole time they were like, yeah, you know, don't get your hopes up. You know, it always loses money the first year. And I was like, I mean, I really think it's going to be good. I think y'all are underestimating the power of hunters.
Yeah.
There's nothing like this anywhere around here. I think it's going to go over well. And the Spiriton Center holds, I think, like, it's supposed to hold like 350 people or something like that. And by the time we got to the banquet, like before the doors opened, we were already in the black.
Yeah.
Like we had already covered all the expenses with cash sponsors and the selling of the teams and that sort of stuff. So everything we did the night of the event was just extra.
Right.
Just a cherry on top.
Yeah. And so
that first year, and I remember the first year the banquet happened, and then the next morning was the hunt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How well did that go?
So it went fine.
Okay.
But we've changed it since then. Yeah. And I'll tell you why. And so the first year we had the banquet, you know, like if you were in there, like
it was packed.
We had 650 people in there, yeah. And it's supposed to hold like 350.
Good night.
Yeah. It was elbow to elbow. Yeah. There was nowhere to sit down and eat. Like you had to kind of take turns eating. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So like I walked up to come to the event and there's a line to get in. I'm like, what in the world? Like I thought it was going to be good, but like this is going to work out just right. And so, of course, that first year, I think we cleared 140, 150,000 or something like that. Nice. The first year, mm-hmm. which is by far more than anything Conway Regional or the foundation had ever done in a fundraising event. The golf tournament does pretty good. Dazzle Days was mm-hmm. a big thing back then, but they're a huge undertaking for Dazzle Days, and they don't make near.
Yeah,
they didn't make near the money that the Duck Derby did. And so you're right, the first year, and this is how they do it in Jonesboro, and that's where we just kind of imitated it. Made a few changes mm-hmm. for us. And so the hunt goes well, you go hunt, and then the check-in is over at DeBoard mm-hmm. and C2 Power Sports. And it was fun. We roll the dice to see who wins and, you know, had lunch and that sort of thing. But what we come to realize after a couple of years is that we would randomly assign the teams Thursday night at the banquet. Well, if you're hunting an hour and a half away, you can't enjoy the banquet. As soon as you get your name, like you're out, in your truck, you're going home, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for the landowner, same thing. They're trying to get stuff ready. They can't come to the banquet. Like it just logistically, it wasn't fun for the people that were participating the most, the landowners and the hunters.
Right.
And so we kind of pushed around the idea of, hey, what if we just did it all in one day? We'll have a nice landowner's dinner 3 or 4 weeks ahead of time, put our teams with our landowners, mm-hmm. let the landowners and the teams work out where they're hunting. You can come stay with me, or, hey, we're going to be hunting in Lone Oak, so you can stay in wherever, and then meet me here. We'll go hunt. And then we had, so you'd go hunt, and then we'd have check-in at lunch still where you'd bring your ducks, and then we would roll the dice. And then banquet that night so that you could really enjoy the banquet and, you know, have a good time. Don't have to get out of there as soon as you hear your name called. And that worked out really, really well.
Yeah.
I think everybody enjoyed the banquet a little more. And last year was our best year to date. I think we cleared somewhere between 160 and 180 or something like that. We had somewhere between 900 and 1,000 people in attendance.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year we're tweaking it just a little bit more. We're not going to have a lunch check-in this year so that hunters can stay and hunt as long as they want. It got to be a little bit too much of a hassle for the foundation ladies to get everything ready for lunch, then tear all that down, and then go to the Hyper Center and get all that stuff set up. Mm-hmm. So this year it's just going to be hunt. Go have a good time, and then show up at the banquet. If you're a hunter or a landowner, you'll show up at 5 because we're going to have a little bit of VIP time for the landowners and hunters to come in, get settled in, buy their tickets, you know, find their table, do all that sort of stuff before it opens to the general public at 6.
Okay. How many landowners did you have last year? How many do you expect to have this year?
So the first year, I think we had like 24, 25. Last year, I think we took 32 teams. This year we have, I think, 36 teams.
Okay.
And I think we have one or two teams that are on the waiting list if we could find some additional more spots. And so every year we've had a few more landowners.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. For the most part, once somebody participates, they see, oh, man, this is fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do it again. Mm-hmm. And so, and then there are some benefits to being a landowner. You get whatever prize the team gets, you get all the goodie bags to start with. We have the landowner dinner. You get tickets to the banquet, all that sort of stuff. And then the landowners also get a donation in kind to the foundation for tax purposes for like $1,500.
Okay.
And so there's some benefit, and it's a fun time. And then you get to meet new people as a landowner, people you would have never come across. Like my brothers hunted in the first year with a guy named Corey. And every year at the Duck Derby, Corey and my brothers and my dad, my father-in-law, hang out, have a good time, and reminisce about that first hunt. You know, they keep planning another hunt. And so one of these years I might have to rig it where they get to hunt together again, you know.
And you may not want to answer this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Which landowner is in the lead for most wins right now.
Oh, that's John Ross Henderson.
That's pretty known.
I think he may have won it 3 out of 4.
He has.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing, though. So, one, he's got a good spot. He kills lots of ducks. But it's completely roll of the dice.
Yeah, I know.
So, the year before, not last year, but the year before, my family hunted over in a little shallow pond across the street from Remington. Mm-hmm. Right there, really? Off of I-40. Like,
yeah.
Literally, we were shooting ducks, and the 18-wheelers are like 100 yards away, just 80 miles an hour down the interstate. But it was a lot of gadwalls and ringnecks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we killed 4 limits of ducks, probably half gadwall, half ringneck. And it came down to the roll for the ringnecks, and we rolled like a 4.
Yeah.
And we got second place. Had we rolled anything higher, then they would have won.
Yeah.
And so that's what makes it nice. You know, you don't have to have a great hunt. Now, killing more birds increases your chances, but I guess the last time I hunted in Jonesboro, we had just a banger of a hunt. Mm-hmm. I mean, just murdered them, and nobody else was killing ducks. Really? We had a stringer of nothing but mallards, and then a few pintails and a couple gadwalls. I mean, it was just one of those hunts. We go back into the roll-in, and mallard drakes roll a 4, and mallard hens roll a 5. Mm-hmm. That was the 2 lowest dice of all the birds. And so we walked out of there like in next to last place.
Yeah.
And so that the dice rolling just
gives
it a little bit, you get a little more chance.
Evens that playing field.
It's just, apparently, as my granddad would say, John Ross has just been living right, main man.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
When you've been living right, things go your way.
Bergen was running around there last year. Boy, had his chest poked out, and he's like, we murdered him. We're about to win this thing. And then they drew through the dice.
Yeah.
He didn't get it.
Yeah. It was great
just seeing that.
And that's the fun thing too, because the people that are leading, you know, they've all done the math. They, mm-hmm. they're keeping score. They know when that last dice rolls, hey, if it's a 6 or lower, we're going to win. If it's 6 or higher, they're going to win, you know. And last year when we rolled, we had First Light there last year, and mm-hmm. the guys from First Light rolled the last dice. And when it rolls, and it's I think it was a low number because mallard drakes, and it was a low number because I think John Ross had a lot of teals uh-huh. and gadwalls, and I think Bergen had a bunch of mallards.
Yeah, I think they like limited on mallards and then had gadwall kickers or something.
Yeah, and so mallard drakes, he rolls, and it's like a 6. And you could see half the room just yelling and screaming, mm-hmm. and the other half's just going, ugh. So... Creates a little bit of drama.
Where's John Ross's place at?
Man, he hunts. It's on some Centennial land. It's a Porter Rogers, I think. Is that the farm?
Porter Rogers.
Yeah.
It's on the Arkansas River, somewhere over there.
Like towards Lawley?
No. I'm not sorry. The White River. The White River.
Yeah.
Yeah, the White River.
Because I was like, Centennial. The Centennial land I know of is over there around Lawley.
He's First Security.
Oh, yeah. He is First Security.
Yeah. Although we do love Centennial, they have been great sponsors for the event. First Security as well. But yeah, you better not call John Ross Centennial.
Oh, no, it's all good.
Like, well, that's what Thad said.
Yeah. That's what I heard it from first.
Yeah, I've hunted with them over there once. It's a really big farm mm-hmm. through First Security, and he takes a team out there. Apparently, they do pretty good.
They do pretty good.
Yeah, and I think last year, if I remember right, they were just having a horrible hunt and just decided to sit out there a little bit. Had killed like 2 ducks by like 9:30 and just decided to sit a little bit longer. And about 10 o'clock, they just started piling in a bunch of teal. So.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You never know. Sometimes the flip gets switched.
And that's why we decided to get rid of the lunch. So if you want to sit out there till noon, you can stay till noon now.
You just bring the ducks this year for the check-in at the banquet at whatever time?
So we'll have somebody at the Hyper Center starting at 1 o'clock, and you just bring them up to the Hyper Center, mm-hmm. and we'll just have a large pile of harvested birds. Nice. And any birds that somebody doesn't want, we'll keep, and we donate all of that to Hunters Feeding the Hungry, mm-hmm. and they make the little meat sticks to give to kids when they go home from school.
Really?
Yeah, it's just a side perk.
We were talking about, you know, bringing the birds and having a pile of birds and everything. Mm-hmm. I reached out to the guys over at Hunt Proof because they would do those toe tags. You know, mm-hmm. they get those and give them out with their cards. So they sent a bunch of toe tags. So we're going to get them over there. So whenever people bring their birds and sign them in, that way old Green Jeans won't swing by over there and have a field day.
Perfect.
That's heaven.
They're listening to this with bated breath. We're about to make quota.
We're just going
to
park a truck over at Conway.
We don't even have to go to any WMA and sit that morning.
Yeah, yeah. So that's probably a good idea. We've never worried about the Green Jeans, but we probably should have at this point.
We need to.
Worried about them.
We need to keep it tagged if we can.
Yeah, yeah. We'll encourage it. And we'll try to next year. I think we talked about this next year, have those available for the landowner dinner so they can have them with them.
Yep. They said yes, they were in for that. So we're
perfect.
We'll have them there for those guys whenever they're checking in. That way it's simple and they sign off on it, give them a card about the app and all that stuff too. And then
perfect.
Next year we'll have it where everybody at the landowner's dinner will have them. So
perfect.
But yeah, I thought, man, that's something we probably need to think about.
And when he just said like, oh, we'll have a pile of birds. I was like,
edit that out. Yeah.
I will not be there.
We'll send Forrest and Steve and Isom over there.
Y'all go stand by those birds. But that's funny. So you may have already said it. Did you kind of give us a rundown on like what these donations are? They're going towards the foundation. What does that foundation do? What kind of give us a?
That was my question. Yeah. Good job.
Sorry. So originally when we first started it, the biggest benefit was going to be the men's health initiative, with the Duck Derby, supporting that mostly, and a couple other small programs. There's a program, that the hospital has. It's like a Ronald McDonald House, but it's just a single house and it's over there by Stobie's. And so part of the money was going to go to help fund that, get it cleaned up or whatever. But most of it's going to men's health. As a primary care physician and a hunter, men's health is very near and dear to me. And statistically speaking, men don't go to the doctor. They just don't.
No.
More than half of all visits by a man are because a woman made them go, whether it's coworker, sister, wife, mom, girlfriend, whoever. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very under-treated population by choice, though, right? It's not like you're in a rural area and there's not any doctors available. There are tons of doctors in Conway, but men still don't go to the doctor. And so that's kind of where it started, was men's health initiatives. And we've done some initiatives through that. And we spent most of our money recently on a 40-foot RV health unit, mobile health unit, that'll be retrofitted with labs, exam rooms. It can be retrofitted for mammograms, and we can do prostate cancer screenings and blood sugar and blood pressure and all that sort of stuff. So the idea being we can take a clinic to the men. We can go set it up at Verco, or we can go set it up at the Wings Over the Prairie Festival. We can set it up. We can go to Morrilton or Greenbrier or wherever and just set up this clinic and say, hey, guys, come get checked out. You know, and if we find diabetes or cholesterol or whatever, get you set up with a primary care doctor in your hometown. And so we've purchased that, but because of COVID and supply chain issues, we purchased it like a year and a half ago, and we keep getting, hey, it's going to be ready. And it was supposed to be ready this year before the Duck Derby, and we get it set up and have it at the event so people could walk in and see it and see kind of where the money's going. Because it's really cool to say, hey, we've collected a lot of money, but you don't really have a whole lot to show for it, you right. know? And so...
Well, and that was my next question is with these initiatives, have you seen or done anything to see any tangible results with those initiatives?
Yeah, so that's kind of where we moved to. Like, hey, one, we're going to get this RV unit. But, okay, you can't spend $100,000 on men's health every year. That just...
Right.
There's not that kind of need, right?
Right.
So we've got that program off the ground, and we've done some events and things like that. But what I'm really proud of, and I think is really cool, so through Conway Regional, there are two programs through the Fitness Center over on Salem that we are now supporting scholarships for. Mm-hmm. So one of them is called the Rocksteady Boxing Program, and it's a nationally certified and recognized program for Parkinson's disease. They've done research, and the skill of boxing helps increase quality of life for Parkinson's patients. The things that you do, the hand-eye coordination, mm-hmm. the moving your feet, that sort of stuff. And so it's a really cool program. If you get online and look, like they get robes with their names on them. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. But traditionally, Parkinson's patients are Medicare patients that are on a fixed income, and paying $75 a month or $100 a month to take part in the program just isn't feasible.
Right.
Or, you know, Faulkner County, Common Regional has like a 7-county area that it serves. And a lot of these neurology patients are coming from Morrilton and Clinton and Heber and places like that, that they're having to drive 30, 40, 50 minutes or whatever. So now you're talking about paying for gas to get down there. And it just, for a Medicare patient, for the most part, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so, so that's one program. The other program is another program through the fitness center called Script to Fit, like prescription to get fit. And it's a tailored program that a doctor writes a prescription for. It's a 6-week program. There's a tailored track for heart disease, diabetes, stroke, and then just generalized deconditioned, like come out of the hospital and don't really need to be in a nursing home for rehab, but need a little, and can get out of the house, so you don't qualify for home health, but you need more than just regular therapy.
Yeah.
And again, it comes with a cost, and you're talking a lot of Medicare patients, heart disease patients, stuff like that, that just paying that extra money, just it's not in the budget. And so the foundation has come along and pledged, I think $20,000 every year to, awesome. And it may end up being more than that if we have extra and there's need for scholarships for those programs. And that's where I've seen the tangible, I've seen Parkinson's patients, I've had my own patients benefit from those programs, and I write the prescriptions to the FIT program. And so and it's just another wrinkle with the Duck Derby. Okay, what else can we support? What else can we support?
Right.
Is
Parkinson, and this is just, I'm asking for my own benefit, Parkinson's predominantly in males?
It can be in anybody.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It can be in anybody. There may be a predominance more in males. I'd have to go look, but I've got patients, male and female,
really?
Have Parkinson's okay. disease.
Yeah. I was just curious.
And now those programs are being funded, and whatever's left is funneling through the foundation to meet whatever need Common Regional has. You know, this year, and it wasn't through Duck Derby funds, but this year the foundation bought the hospital a new MRI machine, mm-hmm. which is huge for our community. Our community's yeah. growing. We have more orthopedists. We have more doctors and patients that need MRIs. And our goal at Common Regional is to provide care in such a way that you don't have to leave. There's no need to go to Conway, to Little Rock or somewhere else to get something that you can get here. And that's what we're trying to do. And the foundation at this point, once we kind of got men's health taken care of and we're funding these programs, whatever's left over, it's just going to be whatever the hospital needs, whether yeah. it's an MRI machine or it's creating some other program or funding more scholarships or recruiting physicians to come to town that provide a specialty that we don't already have. So we have a new director at the foundation, Megan Dyson, that is fantastic. And she'll be she's the go-between between the hospital C-suite and the foundation, so that now there's a connection between the two. So the foundation will kind of be lock in step with the hospital's needs. And so whatever the hospital needs is what the foundation is going to provide.
Mm-hmm. Megan's awesome. Known yeah. her for a long time.
The foundation and the hospital hit a home run
yeah.
getting her away from UCA.
Yeah.
She's been fantastic.
Yeah. I had another question, and I kind of want to kind of come back to the banquet a little bit. So for this year, can you kind of highlight what the big changes are, or is there anything that's coming yeah. up on this one that you think, I know you've kind of listed a few of them, but anything that kind of has you excited for this particular one?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think a big thing is we've changed food.
Okay.
You know, so
that's a big one.
That's yeah. a big one. So what is the number one food that you're going to eat when you go to one of these banquets?
Typically barbecue.
Oh, fish and chicken is fish. Predominant.
Catfish and chicken.
Barbecue.
Catfish and chicken. Well, we're switching to barbecue this year.
Oh. Well.
So for the first time, old Bart, Bart Likes mm-hmm. is going to cater it. And so the food's going to be really good. We've got some new sponsors this year. Weatherby kind of jumped on board and gave us, so we're going to have a lot of Weatherby guns this year at the event, some nice shotguns, some nice rifles. And so, and then we've got for the bourbon connoisseurs out there this year, we're going to have a bourbon pool. mm-hmm. where we'll have 20 bottles of bourbon.
Most and of you just pass them around.
Well, you can't after you win.
Takes a pool.
So somebody suggested
the
that.
First table they're all done. No,
if you win, you can do what you want with it. But it's a new wrinkle, so we try to add some things for people to have fun at the event. And it's
a bourbon pool would make it fun.
That's right. Well, multiple bourbon pools.
Multiple.
And so it'll be 20 bottles, and all of them will be, you know, at least $50, $60 bottles. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be four or five in there that are very rare, hard to get.
Can you drop a hint?
You know, I'm not in charge of them, so I don't really know. But I know, so Matt Troop, the hospital CEO, and I think, I can't remember the other guy's name, I think it's Greg, are both connoisseurs of fine whiskey and bourbon that are pulling out of their own personal stashes.
Nice.
For things that you just can't get. Like, you can't just go to Lake Liquor and get one of these. Mm-hmm. It's something that, you know, when they have the drawing at Lake Liquor, it's the first one that goes because nobody ever sees it on the shelf. Mm-hmm. So a few of those like that. I don't know if there's going to be a Pappy or not. I don't know. But there will be several that are way more valuable mm-hmm. and rare than the ticket that you're buying to get in.
Yeah.
And so that's a kind of a new wrinkle to the event.
That's cool.
So is that going to be an auction, or is that going to be
just a raffle ticket? So you'll raffle ticket. And there's only going to be so many sold. And so I think don't make me lie, but I think I think they're going to be like $50 a ticket, and there's only going to be like 100 tickets or 150 tickets for the 20 bottles or 25 bottles, whatever it is. And what they're going to do is each bottle is going to be numbered 1 through 20, and then they're just going to draw. They're not going to announce it like one at a time. They're just going to draw them all and match, you know,
right?
You know, Thad Hardin with bottle number 2, and Tyler Wells with bottle number 4, and mm-hmm. whatever it may be, right? And so, that's kind of a new thing that we're doing this year. We tried a bag-o thing last year, and it was cool, but like it didn't go over really well, so we scrapped that.
I feel like any event I've ever gone to and they try and do bag-o, it just never...
It didn't. We thought it was going to be great. It was a bag-o for chances on a pair of shin waders.
It was waders.
It was nice, but like it just didn't go over well. I think my kids probably did more bag-o than anybody. Really? Yeah, and we didn't win. So those are kind of the big wrinkles. And we've got some tweaks as far mm-hmm. as like how it's set up, where mm-hmm. the food is, where the stage is. And we made a change to, you know, the big VIPs are always right in front of the stage.
Right.
And then last year and the previous years, we had our other sponsors kind of stage left. I'm sorry, stage left and stage right. I moved my hands right, sorry. And so stage left, stage right, but you can't really see anything from over there.
Yeah.
And so we moved all our other sponsors to directly in front of the stage, outside the VIP area. So all those people that have paid more sponsorships, that sort of stuff, will have right. much better view, can see stuff, that sort of thing. And we've got our bars spaced out a little bit better, so there won't be any crowding. Yeah. So just some logistical stuff like that, that I think every year we try to take feedback from hunters and landowners and guests, mm-hmm. you know, hey, what can we do better? What are we doing good? What are we doing bad?
Yeah.
What can we do differently? Is there anything new we need to do? And so we always want that feedback when it comes to the event, because we're trying to make it where it runs itself and you know what you're getting into when you come, and that you know that you're going to have a good time, and you don't have to worry about, okay, where do I sign in, and you know, who do I give my money to, and all these things. So every year we see one thing, oh, well, that was wrong. We tried, it didn't work, or we haven't tweaked this enough. And so that's really, it's mostly minor stuff that we're just trying to get the event just right. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, are y'all auctioning hunts off?
So this year, I think we have the turkey hunt in Iowa,
okay,
which is fantastic. I went on it the first year. I took my father-in-law. We went to, it's in southeast Iowa with Windy Ridge Outfitters, mm-hmm. And fantastic place. I'm going back, if I draw a tag, to whitetail hunt in the fall. Mm-hmm. I didn't draw a tag this year because of tag creep or whatever they call it. Point creep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Point creep. So when I first started buying points, 3 or 4 was going to get you in. Well, now four or five didn't get me. But I'm pretty sure, unless there's some like exponential point creep this year, I think I'm in for the fall of 2024. Mm. But those guys are great. And last year we had a waterfowl hunt auctioned off to a place called Pro Outfitters, and they've got some stuff in Nebraska and Missouri and Kansas, maybe.
I can tell you right now what Tyler Wells is thinking. I can feel it. Like it's burning my ear over here.
And okay.
What do you think?
Right now he's going, we've got to find a way to get Sandhill Crane Hunt.
That was exactly. I was thinking, how do we get my, some cranes out here?
I felt it like came down my chin. Hey,
I'm down. If you know somebody,
dude,
we can figure it out.
Tyler can make a call.
I can call. I can make some calls.
Hey, wait, just hey, listen. whoever you think needs to come, you just invite them. I'll make sure they have a seat, and then we'll get, because I think this is one of the things where if you come, then you get hooked. It's just like the hunt in Nebraska. If somebody asks me to go back to Platte River, I won't think twice, right? Yeah. I think if we get the more people that we can get to the Duck Derby that are involved in this sort of stuff, like landowners and friends and, mm-hmm. and businesses, that sort of thing, then you're going to, like, somebody that Sandhill Crane Hunts, if they come to the event and see how it goes, while they're all pumped up and, you know, before they walk out of the door, hey, how about a hunt for next year, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. All it took was that first group coming in, and I was like,
I will be back.
Yeah.
Like, you have secured at least a three-day hunt next year. So, it was really fun. Like, yeah, I would recommend it to anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you got young kids that are, like, they really like to hunt. You're in an A-frame, like, it's great. Pop up, shoot,
sit back down. That may be our, where, you know, and y'all's children are young and mine are getting a little older. We're kind of getting to the point where they don't need anything anymore, like stuff-wise, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Our kids go to Common Christian, so they don't, they wear a uniform every day, and so they don't need cool clothes to wear to school. They need khaki pants and shorts and
same color hoodie, every day, right?
It's great.
And then they wear jogging pants and hoodies on the weekend, on mm-hmm. Saturdays, at least the boys do. And then they wear church clothes. So, like, they don't need any of that stuff. My oldest one, they love to hunt. Like, well, you have to have all your hunting stuff before Christmas, so that's out.
Exactly.
And he plays guitar, so, like, you can only buy so many amps and guitars. And my youngest one hunts and plays basketball and that sort of stuff. You got to have all that before Christmas. So, we're kind of, this year, my wife and I are like, what are we going to do? And so, I think we've almost migrated to the experiences for Christmas. And so,
I'm liking the experiences.
You turn Ridge loose in West Texas on Sandhill Cranes. Oh, he may not come back to Arkansas.
No, he may move out there.
If he stays there and can afford me to come out there regularly, you know, we could have Hardin Household West.
Yes.
So,
dude, I'd come stay down there.
I'll drive you out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm down.
No.
So, it's
okay. Yeah, yeah. You make some calls, Tyler. Okay.
I'll make some calls.
Okay.
I'll put Marissa on it.
Yeah. Which y'all did a phenomenal, made a phenomenal decision in that arena.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing the boss woman herself
in. Yes, that has worked out real well. Number one, it was nice to finally have, like, we have the ladies on the foundation board, but none of them hunt. Megan's husband's a big hunter, but it's kind of, she lets him do his thing. Like, I don't think she goes hunting with him.
Mm-hmm. Wes?
Yeah, with Wes, yeah.
Is he a big hunter?
Mm-hmm. Loves, like, he is a, like, I want to say, like, come middle of November.
I didn't know that.
He just leaves.
Yeah, he is a love. It's been doing it a long time. They've got a good spot south of Conway somewhere. Like, I don't know where it's at, but it's south of us. So
fairly close, though?
I think it's not super far away. Like, well, I don't, it's not like.
We're going to have to call Wes.
Yeah. So I don't know where it is, but he hunts a lot. At least that's what I've heard Megan say, is he's a pretty avid duck hunter. He's one of our hosts. That was one of the benefits of getting Megan. We got Wes.
Yeah.
As a landowner to take a team. So we got a twofer there. But getting Marissa on board, she's super talented and knows what she's doing. Lots of good ideas, but she's connected and she knows hunting. Right. And so she has been, and every year we add, you know, we don't have probably about half the original committee members.
Mm-hmm.
Other guys have gotten busy, other things going on. And so every year we add a couple of new committee members. And so she was a home run of a committee member. We're super glad that Tyler let us borrow her a few times.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry you didn't get anything else except for Marissa with her. So she is well worth it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, she's helped out a lot.
So, give us the dates for this year. Kind of let us know when it's coming. What's
so
happening.
It's 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Oh wow!
Okay. So, no, it's a week from tomorrow.
Week from
tomorrow. It's January the 5th It's at the UCA Hyper Center. Doors open to the public at 6 p.m. You can go online. You can buy a ticket at the door, but I wouldn't advise it just because you got to go through all the trouble. You can get online and go to the if you go to Duck Derby, ArkansasDuckDerby.com, that takes you to the foundation page, and there's a button to click on there to buy tickets. And so, and then on that same page, there's tons of information about sponsoring, buying tables, the event itself. There's just a bunch of information on there, but the most important one is, you know, how to buy a ticket.
Are the teams already set? Like,
the teams have been long set. We had our landowner dinner like December the 7th or 5th or somewhere around there.
5th or 7th, I can't remember.
Well, sorry about your luck, guys.
It was on a Tuesday during the split. Sorry, my watch is talking.
Siri was trying to get involved.
Yeah. Hey, we'll take all the help we can get with that derby.
Exactly. Hey. But for next year, I mean, they can be sitting on ready and try to get in and get a team in next year.
Yeah. So the teams are set. But through the foundation, you can get your name on the email list. And so there's some emails that go out ahead of time. Hey, it's almost time. It's almost time. And then the email goes out. Teams are ready. They're up for registration. And this year, we had, I think we sold out of teams within the first 24 hours. And then we get a couple new landowners and we take some people off the waiting list. But it's one of those things where if you've hunted in it before, we, you know, I bet 90% of our teams are repeat hunters. Yeah. Like it's one of those things where it's a good time. I did it last year. I'm doing it again. And so we get a lot of repeats. And so when it goes on sale, like it, those guys are signing up.
Can you tell everybody the cost on what it is?
It's $1,500 a team, and that includes the hunt, and it includes 8 tickets to the banquet, 2 for each hunter. The banquet is a catered meal, and when you walk in, you don't have to buy anything else. You don't have to buy a drink cup or anything like that. All you can drink, all you can eat, and then we also have
And what's the minimum? How many people can be on a team?
Four man team. Now at the hunt, we let the landowner also hunt with the team, but still we just take 4 limits for scoring.
Got it.
Just so, you know, the landowner can clean up some shots, go kill cripples, things like that. Right. So, but you get 8 tickets to the banquet, the hunt, and a goodie bag, full of good stuff. This year, we got a new sponsor, a big sponsor this year, Gator Waiters, has jumped in, and each hunter will get a high-end canvas Gator Waiter gun sleeve and a Gator Waiter gift card, I think, to spend on Gator Waiter at C2 Power Sports. Yeah. And then I think a t-shirt and a hat in there. I think, and then, you know, then you get the warm and fuzzies about supporting a good cause.
Yeah.
So, which is priceless.
It is. It's the whole reason for being there.
Right? Yeah.
Well, and I mean, we can attest it's fun. I mean, it's, which last year was the first year that I've hunted it in. I've gone to a few of the banquets, which the banquets are a blast. But, and the hunts were, I mean, we had fun hunting with those guys. So you get to meet new people, get to hunt, and you get to see how other people hunt, kind of their style. And it was fun.
Spend the morning together and.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot of fun to meet new people and get to hunt with people you'll never get to hunt with again. Or, you know, like my brother's hunting with Corey that first year, and they're trying to figure out when they can come up to Conway to hunt with him again, just on another weekend. Like you've made a lifelong hunting buddy that you wouldn't have met otherwise. And then, you know, just, you know, I tell people it's like any other DU or Delta waterfowl. It's just on a much grander scale. And I think the one thing that does set it apart, though, is that for every cool item we have for guys, we have an equivalent item for females, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and you don't have to be a duck hunter to go to the Duck Derby. You know, we've got trips for golf and, you know, wine country and skiing, and there's things in the live auction, the silent auction, that have nothing to do with hunting at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's really an event for everybody, which I think really sets it apart as far as, you know, this kind of event goes.
It's a lot of fun. I encourage everybody to go. I mean, it's a, number one, it's a fun event. It's a fun hunt. I don't know all of the landowners on there, but I can speak fairly strongly to most of them that I've seen on there, and there's some pretty decent properties that you're hunting out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's, so we've got, and you know, we've kind of, we've had some landowners that we, I don't want to say we didn't ask back, but like but we didn't call him and say, do you want to do it next year, right? And so we've kind of weeded a few out and grown a little bit. But it is duck hunting, right? And generally what we find is we'll have 36 teams. Mm-hmm. We'll probably have 5 or 6 or 7 that have just bangers. And then we'll have probably 15 or 20 that have a good hunt. But we'll have, you know, five or six that mm-hmm. just may not shoot many. Yeah. And you have to keep that in mind, you know, that it's a fundraiser. You're paying money to go hunt, but it's a fundraiser first. So it's not like
still hunting.
And it's still hunting. Yeah. You know, the first year we did it, we had several people were like, well, why didn't I get to go hunt in Stuttgart? It's like, you didn't draw land in Stuttgart, buddy.
Right. Yeah.
And so
all the land's not in Stuttgart.
Yeah, that's right. And so but it's just a lot of fun, man. And having watched it over the last, you know, 7 years, just to see how it's grown, the people have gotten involved. It's just been a lot of fun. And yeah. And my super secret goal back when we first started is, you know, I think someday I'll be able to let it go when we've raised $1 million. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, that's going to take a while. But at this point, through 4 years, we've cleared almost 600,000.
Yeah.
And in this year, our cash donations, cash sponsorships, has gone 30,000 or 40,000 more than it ever has. Mm-hmm. With Megan involved, we have made a conscious effort to cut down on cost of the event. So we greatly reduced our goal was 10% reduction in cost, and we've flown past that. So our cost is way less, and our cash on the front end is way more. Like, we could easily, cross my fingers, we should easily go past 200,000 cleared this year. Mm-hmm. And just soar past that.
That's even with old Bart's coming in?
I know. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well,
I mean, our cost is down.
I figured that cost was going up.
Well, no, man. So that's the thing. We weren't getting quite as good a deal on our other food that we did in the beginning. And so, you know, barbecue's expensive, but, you know, I don't know what kind of deal he's cutting us, but, like, they okayed it. So even with the barbecue, we're still more than 10% down.
Yeah.
So maybe it'd be 20% if we weren't having old Bart's, but I don't know.
I'm just messing. I love Bart.
Yeah.
Old Bart's about to lose money on this deal.
Yeah, it's all you can eat.
Tyler's going to make him pay rent.
About to make him pay rent.
And so this year should blow away every year we've ever had in it. And so within two or three years, that million will have be in the rearview mirror, and I don't think I'm quite ready to let it go. I have too much fun doing it, you know? So,
well, real quick before we wrap up, kind of for the guys that are obviously they can't get in and hunt this year, but next year they want to go for it. What's give them the kind of the parameters. It's a 4-man team.
Okay.
It's $1,500. The one thing I wanted you to touch on was, the distance from Conway. Cause I don't think we talked about
And so obviously we can't have the Duck Derby without landowners.
Right.
So we don't turn landowners away. We have we try to keep it within an hour and a half, 2 hours, but since we don't have lunch anymore, 2 hours is fine. So yeah. If you may hunt in Clarendon, you may hunt.
I mean, you can hunt Jonesboro at that point.
You really could. And that's the beauty of having the draw 3 weeks ahead of time.
Right.
So if you hunted in Jonesboro, you could go stay in Jonesboro.
Right.
Hunt. And then come to Conway for the banquet.
Yeah.
And so that's really afforded us a little bit higher or a little bit wider net to cast as far as landowners go. And so you find out if you get a 4-man team, it's $1,500. You find out 3 or 4 weeks ahead of time, the landowner's going to call you, tell you when and where. And the landowner may have a lodge that you can stay at, which would be great. But if not, you stay in somewhere close. You get up, you go hunt the next morning. You come back into town, clean up, check into your hotel, whatever. And then you bring your birds to the Hyper Center at UCA, and then
tagged.
If you don't have them tagged, we're going to tag them when you get there.
Exactly.
They will all be tagged by the time the green jeans show up. Okay. And so then, to make things fair, we roll dice for every species, male and female, a bird, and we'll roll a lot of those. We'll roll almost all of them prior to the actual event in that VIP time, but we'll save the last 3 or 4 birds for the actual event itself.
Got it.
So we'll roll the last one. What should happen is you're going to have 3 or 4 teams that are in first place, like in the lead, that are hoping for some numbers. And you're going to have 3 or 4 or 5 teams that are outside the money that are hoping to jump up. Right.
Yeah.
And so, should have 7, 8, 9 teams that have a chance at winning when we get to the final dice during the actual event. And then at the end of the event, we'll crown a winner, and then we'll do all our raffles for the side-by-side, the guns, all the raffle stuff. And then you go home.
I think you guys have done a phenomenal job of dialing in the now, especially with eliminating the lunch and being able to hunt further away. I think you're right. It casts a broader net.
Yeah.
So I think you guys have done a great job with that. So
I think it's going to work out well. And I know that Megan and Marla and Summer, the ladies that help run the foundation, they're super pumped about not having to do anything at lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
They can just kind of sleep in and then go get things taken care of at the Hyper Center. And this year, I'll be kind of whatever needs to be done. If there's a team that needs an extra hunter or a landowner that something happens and they can't come, and if I'm not needing any of those places, then I'll help set up. So I normally don't hunt in it unless something happens and somebody can't come. Like one year my dad had COVID or had been exposed and couldn't come hunt, so I hunted in his place. So I don't hunt in it generally.
I want to throw my name in the hat for like anybody need a dog or a extra collar. Like I don't even want to come shoot. I just want to come.
I can arrange that.
Well, I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay. For this year?
Done.
No, don't worry about this year.
Okay. Next year?
It's too late this year.
Yeah. Too late this year.
Okay. So next year, yes. I will volunteer your services. We could probably like auction it off during the landowner dinner.
Oh. I don't know if you want to do that. I don't know if anybody wants to pay for me to be there.
I don't know. Huck's pretty impressive.
You let me get a cut, I'd say let's do it.
Okay. Okay.
Dr. Harden, we appreciate you coming on, man. Anything else you want to give us before we wrap it up?
No, man. Thanks for having me, and thanks for spreading out the word. And thanks so much to Wellens Land for being a helper, for like a sponsor and such a big driver in the Duck Derby. It is, y'all have certainly been responsible for some of this growth over the last couple of years. So I really appreciate y'all being involved.
It's a great event, great foundation. I think the money's going towards some awesome stuff. So, I mean, of course, you know, when you get the cool RV, we can really say, hey, look what you really did.
And we've almost gotten to the point where we're fixing to call the PM like, hey, look, it's time, or we want our money back, and we'll go buy another one somewhere else.
Exactly.
Like, we've gotten real close to, like, I think we're giving them, like, by the end of the year, we need, like, a firm date or give us our money back, and we're just going to go buy one somewhere else.
Yeah.
Nice.
But, we'll find out. Great deal. I hope everybody that hears it says, you know, I'm going to go check it out, and we can get in and go hunt it or maybe get some more landowners. That'd be awesome.
You want to compete
against John.
No joke.
Yeah, John Ross needs some competition. And if you have any guys that through this podcast have any questions, man, feel free to direct them to me. You know, give them my number. I'm fine to answer any questions.
You should Facebook message Bobby Martin. Do you know who that is? Owns the Greenbrier in Stuttgart. That would give John Ross a run for his money.
Okay.
I don't know. Bobby would probably laugh at that, but never mind. You can try.
I know.
You
try.
Yeah. But, well, yeah, we appreciate you coming on. We're definitely going to help spread the word, get this episode out. Hope everybody gets an ear on it so they can check it out and come to the banquet at least. I mean, it's always a fun time.
Yeah, and so. I guess I should mention one last thing. The big prize this year, we got rid of the truck. We're not raffling off of the truck this year.
Was it a camo truck?
It's been a camo truck every year.
Yeah.
Which is sweet, except for the price of used trucks went up drastically and it became cost prohibitive. Right. So this year, rather than that, we got some feedback too. This year, the grand raffle, the big prize is a 2023 Polaris Ranger 1000 lifted wheels, winch, windshield, all the bells and whistles. It's up at Chip's place right now at C2 Power Sports on display. And that is $100 tickets, and we only sell 500 tickets. So way better odds than you usually get on that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the big ticket this year. It's not a truck. It's a tricked out Ranger.
Mm. All right. And what's the website one more time?
It's ArkansasDuckDerby.com.
Okay.
Awesome.
That takes you to the foundation page.
Well, Thad, we appreciate you, man.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we're going to get out of here. Catch y'all later.
All right.